On this episode of the AIE podcast,
we have floor tanking and other WoW noobs. Well, I guess news.
News, news. Happy Life Day, AIE.
December, where attendance is optional and the fun is mandatory.
Lord of the Rings Online brings Yule, Kingdoms of Harad.
And join us for our last show of the year.
Ooh. Woo! All that and more coming up right now.
Bringing you the latest news from the AIE gaming community
from planet Earth and beyond.
This is the AIE podcast.
Welcome to episode 440 of the podcast celebrating you, the Alea Iacta Est gaming community. The die has been podcast. I am Tetsemi, and to my right and two states over is Mewcow.
Greetings, guildies, and may I say it's nice to hear that clear opening voice now.
Exactly.
Yes.
And to my left and upstairs is McCullough.
Hey guys, there's leftover caramel apple pie in the guild kitchen. Do not ask for anything else in the guild kitchen. We've been cooking a lot.
All right. And this week we have a wrap-up of what is going on for December in AIE and gaming in general. We'll be digging into that.
But mostly it's we're on break until December, January, but you know.
Yeah. But we will be digging into what we have been up to shortly. But first, let's cover this week's news.
AIE News.
All right, guys, we have your mandatory fun night schedule, where the fun is mandatory, but attendance is not. And of course, make sure you keep a track of any of our game channels to find out what might be on hold for the holidays, because it's a bit of a crazy time. All right, so we start off on Sunday with Destiny 2 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday, Guild Wars 2 at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday, SOTOR at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Max. I just say that because Max is in the channel, and we are pandering. That was Tuesday, yes. Oh, wait. Sorry, wow. I'm going to try that again because I actually can't read. Monday, STO. I think my brain saw the next line. 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, SOTOR. 8 p.m. Max. 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, HFO Mythic and Mayhem. Wow. 8 p.m. Eastern. Friday, ESO. 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, LOTRO. 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, Final Fantasy 14 Maps. 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, normally noob at 11 p.m. Eastern, but look further down. You'll see that we're taking a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of breaks, since we're going to be gone for the next month or so, why don't we tell you about the other streaming and guild podcast news we have? Unless they're, of course, taking a break as well, because that could be. We do have a ton of them. I'll give you a quick list here. Starting with a new Overlords podcast with the aforementioned Max and Seema over at newoverlords.com. Then we have Boards and Swords with Chris and Philip over at boardsandswords.com. And then we have Dr. Gameology, also known as Dr. Daniel Kaufman, over at drgameology.com. STO Fleet Action Report with Grebog and Nicodus is at YouTube. Look for at Fleet Action Report. And then we have a Podcast Reborn Final Fantasy 14 community podcast with Brandon, a.k.a. Old Man Franks, Megan, and Ro, which is not safe to listen to if you have kiddos. Yep. Just no.
Around. You can listen to it if you have children, just not with them around.
Yeah, not with them around. Not where they can hear you.
Right. Unless you want to explain some things.
No, no, you don't. All right. And in WoW, speaking of new braid, it is on winter break until January 3rd, 2026, so Dan Kinia can get a bit of relief from the horrible jokes the group likes to torment her with. During 2025, Dan Kinia demonstrated her floor tanking ability 172 times.
Impressive.
Wow.
While she is out, Solyndri will be leading New Braid After Dark during the normal 11 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday. And in WoW, Midnight, the next expansion, has a release date of March 2nd with the pre-patch release on January 13th. Anyone with an Epic Edition pre-order will have early access. Expect February 27th, according to WoWhead. Players with early access will also be able to use the new player housing feature as of December 2nd. That's in 3 days, people.
I was like, that is Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
2 days.
2 days. Oh, I forget. Yeah, stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Do we eat? Okay.
No.
It skips. No. So October has 30. Never mind. Okay.
This will be a complicated. This will be complicated for AIE and our co guilds. Hashtag AIE problems, which are one of several ways to join neighborhoods for player housing. Every player's warband gets two houses, one horde, one alliance. Okay. Good so far. Any alt can access either home. Okay, we're good so far? All right. There will be open neighborhoods that are server-wide, and guilds can create private neighborhoods open to anyone in that guild, or in our case, specific co-guild. Groups of friends, such as raid teams, can also create charters for their own neighborhoods. We will have neighborhoods for all the co-guilds, most likely, but haven't assigned which officer will be assigned to which yet, because only the GM of the guild can create the guild neighborhood.
Wow. That's going to be, you are right. That is hashtag AIE problems.
Right.
And to
behind
the scenes,
yeah.
The reason why that's kind of complicated is because the GM of each co-guild is a certain rank. So that means only certain people could be the GM of those co-guilds. So that causes extra fun.
Yeah.
Gusty says they have decided.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Gusty on Fortuna and then Kitty on Salus. Late breaking news, folks.
Yeah. Ooh. Currently, in addition to the Legion remix event, speed leveling, transmog mounts, etc., the WoW anniversary is active in retail WoW with a rep and XP boost. Visiting the anniversary celebration at the Caverns of Time will provide an additional buff. Rep is good because it's one of the ways to obtain player decor for player housing. Remember, there's transmog, and now there's house transmog.
Yep.
You know, this might get Vakala to rejoin WoW.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know how much she likes houses.
Yeah.
Now, I understand. And also, speaking of transmog, just wait. That's all I'm going to say, because everything is changing on the fly on the PTR, from the costs per piece to update an outfit, to unlocking the slots to store outfits, to all of it. So just wait.
All right. So what I'm also hearing is, I really think the first show of the year should be somebody coming in and talking about all these changes. And wow, hi, Gusty. How are you doing today?
You've been voluntold.
Yeah. No, it's...
I'm just saying.
It's a lot because...
explanation.
Yeah, like on the PTR right now, if you just looked at the prices compared to retail, it's 6,000 to 7,000% higher. But then they're going to discount that by 40% from what the prices are on the PTR now, which will bring it down, but not. it's complicated. So give them time to settle everything out.
Part of it, too, that's part of the confusion, for at least for transmog, is because they're basically stealing, and I think it's good they're doing, they're stealing Final Fantasy XIV's method where you have plates.
Yes.
So now you're gonna dress up a plate, and you have 18 plates, and then you dress up that plate, and that's the cost.
Right.
But then you can use the plates as much as you want.
Right. But then updating the plate...
Costs money.
And unlocking all the plates costs money.
Costs a ton of money. Yeah. Basically, since you're not unlocking...
In this economy?
Yes, in this economy.
Well, and the other problem is those 18 slots are shared warband-wide, or unlocked warband-wide. Yeah.
That's
So that it's...
Wait, 800... Are they shared or unlocked?
The unlock is shared. So the 800,000 gold to unlock all 18 slots warband-wide...
That's not too bad, then.
No, but it's still 800,000 gold to unlock the 18 slots warband-wide. So, yeah.
Wow.
Stask, really? That's where we went? Yeah. Well,
by the way, we have our first final suggestion. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, second, because Gusty did one in the notes. I'll have to include as well.
Oh, excellent. All right, then. All right. Well, yeah.
No, but hang on. So Stask brings up a good point. You know, it's like if they wanted to keep the player housing on the back end down, they would just introduce what they did for, what was the Amazon MMO? New World, where they had rent.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
No. Yeah. We play, as we keep telling our Call of Cthulhu keeper, we play games who get away from
reality. Yeah.
And we are paying rent. We're paying a monthly subscription fee. So we're paying rent.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that leads into the whole thing of the real money auction house and Hearthsteel. And no. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway,
yep.
Let's move on to more joyous things. What's going on with the,
like
the rebels in space?
It's not the rebels. It's the New Republic. Anyway, SWTOR. All right, SWTOR. We'll see a holiday chapter release of update 7.8 titled The Pursuit of Ruin. It will include a new story chapter, a new dynamic encounter, and a new stronghold, a.k.a. player housing. Okay, guys.
Sensing a theme here? Are we sensing a theme here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess we could just call this home for the holidays. Anyways, that's not to mention Life Day festivals with snowballs and Wookiee hugging. And are there also Wookiee cookies, please? Also, for the first year... No, absolutely not. Also, for the first year ever, they'll be trying a new guild event during the evenings during the lost time. So you know how there's that lost week that's like no man's time between Christmas and New Year? Well, that's when they're going to be doing stuff. Stay tuned to Discord for more information on that. And ESO. Well, MFN and ESO generally takes a month off in December, but they expect to find a couple of folks hanging out in the normal time on Friday nights through the holidays. Attendance will be sporadic, but feel free to reach out to anyone who would like company while running the holiday events in-game.
All right, and Final Fantasy 14 news. The big one we have is that patch 7.4 is coming on December 16th, and it's bringing a lot. They heard that there was some housing stuff happening over in WoW, so they wanted to get a little attention.
Odd.
So, but, you know, first, of course, MSQ, there'll be more MSQ. There's always more MSQ. There's a new raid dungeon. They're continuing on the Arcadian stuff. So if you're familiar with the Arcadian, we won't get into what it is, but it's pretty cool. They're just doing the next division of that. So it's just more raid tier. That's all it is.
Okay.
A new variant dungeon, which is just that kind of like more, you can kind of choose like which path you want to take on the dungeon this time. So it's a choose your own adventure dungeon. So they have a new one coming in, a new regular dungeon called Mistwake. There is a new trial, and this is called Hell on Rails, because they're bringing the infamous train into the game.
Oh, no.
The train that you fight.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's boy, is he creepy looking. But this train is infamous because, was it Final Fantasy VII, I think?
Yes.
Where you fought the train, and one of the characters could suplex the train somehow.
Yep. I remember that. Like, I did it. It's great.
You're kind of, yeah. You're like, huh? How?
I was going to say, yes, Gusty. Thomas the Dark Engine. Thank you. I was trying to figure out where to take Thomas the Train.
She said Dank, but
Dank. I heard Dark. I read, I can't
Dark
read.
Makes more sense. You should see what he looks like. It's Dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dark. But yeah, that'll be an interesting trial, I'm sure. Then we have a new Unreal trial. So that's when they take an old trial that everyone likes and they kind of bring it into the current gear set to make it challenging again. This one's going to be Tsukiyomi. That one was a real challenge back then. I mean, it's still a challenge even now, so it's going to be interesting to see it back at full strength.
Yeah. Mew, I know you said take a trial that everyone likes, and I thought you were just going to go and make them hate it.
Oh, they're going to hate it because the name of it's called Tsukiyomi's Pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's that. Because there was a WoW raid where you had to manage, it's with the elves, you had to manage which side of the board you were on.
Yes.
So you didn't get too many stacks of things. It's got that mechanic plus a bunch of other stuff going on.
Yes, but do you have to do math on the fly and identify prime numbers?
No.
Okay.
Luckily, that's an alliance raid.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do PvP. There's a new PvP stuff coming on. They are doing the next, as they usually do, there's more weapon enhancements for the Phantom weapons, you know, whatever. That's what they're calling the artifact weapons this time around. So,
okay.
Of course, more Hildebrand. Everyone loves Hildebrand.
Oh, yay. So they have,
this one is called Inconceivably Further Hildebrand Adventures. They are updating Air Force One. I don't have too much details on that, but I mean, it's a pretty fun one. It's the gates. So if you go to the Gold Saucer, it's the social gates instead of fates. Those are fun to do, especially with your fellow guildies. So I highly recommend that. Cosmic Exploration is getting updates. They're enhancing the tools and whatnot. If you know what Cosmic Exploration is, it's just fun. It's the new way of leveling your crafting and gathering. Like, it's, you basically just don't do it the old way anymore. It's that's how much better this is.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more fun. The big one that the raid teams are going to want to see about is the strategy board. Mm-hmm. So this is an in-game raid explanation tool. So you can actually pick up the board for where the boss is and plot it out, and it's in-game.
Wait, didn't they? No, I'm not opening that can of worms. Can you draw stuff on it? I think that's the big thing.
Well, but you can't do it during it's a board. Like, you're looking at it before the fight. You don't have it up during the fight. So it's just, it's,
yeah,
just,
but
like
still, can you draw on it?
I am almost worried to see.
Exactly.
Me too. I know people are going to draw, and it's not good.
Yeah. That's why they took it out of WoW. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, from the examples I see, I don't see any drawings. I mean, they're probably smartly thinking about that, but I see a lot of, like, you know, boss markers.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could draw with the markers if you really want to.
Listen, people are seventh graders. You know what? Yeah.
Fifth graders at this point.
The cool thing about it is, so, like, a lot of people have their markers saved. You used to be able to change markers on the fly. They got rid of that because it made things too easy. Now you have to set it before the fight starts. So what this is basically doing is giving you an actual, like, overlay that everyone can look at before the fight, and then you can have everything pre-placed, and then you just pop it down during the fight.
Okay.
And you're good to go.
So okay.
It's really neat looking. It's got all the markers on it. Like, it's just, it's, you know, it's, I think it's really going to help raid teams out trying to get this stuff figured out.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things. And of course, their big update to get everyone's attention: glamour is unlocked for everything. Period.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you are, what class you are, what role you are. All glamour is now usable on all classes.
So you could have a dancer wearing red mage. Specific.
You could have the big example I've had is the warrior tank that looks like a white mage.
Mm.
You look over in confusion as the white mage runs to start pulling things. You're like, wait, healer, what are you doing? And they pull out an axe and you're like, oh, okay.
Never mind, you're just dressed like a healer.
Is that only in PvE and not applicable during PvE, PvP?
Doesn't matter, everywhere. As far as I'm aware, it's everywhere.
Okay, so
the silhouette thing is out the window, and WoW is the same place.
No, I know.
So I think they're just like, you know what? People enjoy this, whatever.
Yeah. Let people wear what they want.
Well, in player versus player, it was because you needed to be able to identify the healers and the tanks and the casters versus the melee, and now they're just throwing that all out and saying, nope, free for all.
Well, but also think of it this way. Healers don't heal in PvP anymore anyway. So
yeah, that's true.
They're just green DPS at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have, like, the markers that are on players are pretty clear. So you can kind of tell at a glance what they are. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And, you know, as soon as you see that, you know, that white mage doing, you know, shooting you with a bow and arrow, I think you're going to remember
that's a good indicator.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing. They wanted to get some attention back. So they're like, you know what? Glamour's unlocked. Enjoy. Other than that, if you are a Mac player, their support for Talho, Ventura's ending next year month in January, because it's almost December. And if If you want to get the collector's edition goodies, they are now 50% off because they now have it to where, you know, if you want to just get the collector's edition upgrade, you can do that. They've had that for a while.
Right.
Well, now that little bonus is now 50% off until December 7th.
Perfect.
So if you've been wanting to get the mounts, I highly recommend it for whatever the most recent expansion is. Typically gives you an earring that gives you an XP boost.
Right.
That is usually worth it. So, yeah. You know, at the very least, get the latest Dawn Trail one, because it gives you the the one that goes up level 90. But yeah, it's definitely worth it. And you get a neat transforming mecha ship plane robot mount.
Nice. So
that's fun. And I wanted to mention that a few weeks ago, they launched a ridiculous hot pot mount.
Yep.
Literally a hot pot, a giant hot pot.
Wow.
You can fly around on and stir your hot pot as you're flying around.
Yep.
Wearing your chef's outfit. And once the patch goes live, you can be wearing your chef outfit in any class you want as you fly around stirring your hot pot.
Yep.
So,
okay, then.
Yeah. Yeah. Hot pot. Nope. Hot pot. Hot pot. Literal hot pot. A bowl of hot soup with all kinds of meat being thrown in. Yes. Hot pot. Also, if you have not already been doing so, the irregular tombstones are currently active. That's a great guild event to do because it's practically everything in the game. There's something that you can do together to get these tombstones, and it's an easy way to get some of the mounts from raids, some of the pets, you know, emotes, that sort of thing. Real easy way to get it. And then they have a whole strategy guide on there in the game to show you where to get what. Really good. The last big news is that FanFest is happening next year, April 24th and 25th, where BlizzCon normally happens at the NIG.
Are you guys going?
Center. No, I would love to go.
Real life problems.
Well, also,
yep.
Getting the tickets for it was a lottery, wasn't it?
Only if you are a player. So the players had if you were an active subscription player, there was a lottery if you opted in that you could just get it before the queue started.
Oh, okay.
And then they did the regular queue.
Okay,
for everybody else.
Okay.
So, you know, and if your friends got it, you can still change names on it until a certain date. I forget the actual date, but it's possible. Like if you have a friend that has one, they might be able to get you in there. So, but yeah, it's, you know, it's where BlizzCon is happening, and you can have, you know, whatever we want to call DizCon after FanFest.
Yeah, Dizfest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's their big news, and they'll be announcing the next expansion.
Cool.
And then the last little bit for those that are into Guild Kitchen news, Cookbook 2 is now out. So if you are interested in cooking Eorzean food, there you go.
Very cool.
All right. And in Lord of the Rings Online, a new expansion, the Kingdoms of Harad, as of right now, is scheduled to be released on December 3rd. That's Wednesday. The instance cluster for the expansion is expected to be delayed, which means this gives a chance to level up to the new level cap and get a group together and look at it as a kinship. Also, looking forward to the Yule Festival that starts on December 11th. Join us as we look to have fun in Frostbluff, as well as protecting it in the Battle of Frostbluff. And with that, let's get back to what we have been doing in and out of game, and Makala has questions for everyone. Yes. All right. speaking of Makala, what have you been up to?
Well, let's see. I am part of the reason why we did not actually have our show as planned last 2 weeks ago, because our kid works at a pie shop, which means that last week was Hell Week, and we had been talking about going up to Sedona sometime and take the dog. So literally the only week we could do it, was the weekend that we had the show scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So we, I found a cabin in the woods, woohoo, and we drove up there, which was real fun because it's a 2-hour drive and the dog does not care for the car. And we took Hobie and the kiddo and the two of us, and we stayed in the cabin for 2 nights and had a blast. It was lovely, just being up north. way quieter. The cabin had no Wi-Fi. We're very connected people. Mm-hmm. So that was a kind of a challenge, but I think I read like an entire book. We're up there. We hiked around. We went into town and explored, if you've ever been to Sedona, the Tlacopaki area. So I had a really good family time. That's one thing I went up to. Last Sunday, we had our Friendsgiving, which actually is kind of an AIE event because Kenny is there. Al Carth, her husband's there. Nevermore and Ben the Major were invited, but they unfortunately were not able to join us. And it is literally a multi-day prepping event. I started the croissants Friday morning. made my soup. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, if you started them Sunday morning, we were all in
trouble. We were in trouble. No, that we'd be eating. We'd be having croissants sometime noon on Monday. Mm-hmm. So Sunday, I did Friday, I did all my prep, started my doughs. Saturday, I cooked my breads and prepped as many of the sides as I could. And Sunday, of course, I did all the main cooking. So that's what I've kind of been focused on. Outside of geeking stuff, in game, we actually did we had our Call of Cthulhu, multi-part, we used to call it a one shot when we do our holiday stories. We've just given that up.
Because
we talk a lot. But literally, one of the times there was a one shot, it was like an eight shot. Mm-hmm. But now our GM just kind of plans, okay, here's where I want to get to at the end of each session. So we had our story, and it was Where the Marigolds Fade, and it took place. It started out actually at a cemetery in modern day. Started out at a cemetery in Los Angeles. And almost all, a lot of us played folks that were in, the film industry. And of course, our DM did not warn us that it starts out in modern day Los Angeles, but then goes to like a 1930s theme as we go to a alternate reality where there's a battle between Aztec gods trying for control, and we're playing basically mortals who have been hired. What would you say?
Yeah.
Voluntold, coerced by one of the goddesses to basically, if you want to get home, you need to stop this other god. And to do this, you're going to need these items. So it was a race across a 1930s themed Aztec Art Nouveau inspired area. To find different magical items that can help get us home.
Yep.
So it was a blast.
It was very fun.
It was a lot of fun. I'm I'm going to play something that, you know, that's very un-me. For the first time in 30 years, Cam and I actually played a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that was fun. That was fun. We did play a couple. And I went against type because normally I play high charisma characters. I don't really love physical battle in a game.
Especially often. A Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu, you know, unless you have a gun, don't do it. And if you have a gun, they're going to shoot back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I tend to definitely play squishy characters. And this one, I actually played a stunt woman. So I had a 70 brawl, a pretty high strength, a pretty high dex. They gave me a knife, mm-hmm. a knife that can injure a god.
As you do.
So I did get stabby and. Yeah.
You did very well with the stabby.
I did good. Yeah. So that's one thing we went up to gaming wise. Trying to think anything else exciting. I'll let you handle the Ghosts of Arcadia stuff.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. And it's the holidays, so I have lots of spreadsheets.
There is one thing you failed to mention.
Okay.
So a certain someone named McCalla actually, in real life, now has a new position.
About that. I got a promotion a few months ago.
I know, but you didn't mention it.
Okay. I've been busy with my new job. Yes. Which involves pretty much using my high charisma to get people to get me information quickly for audits.
Yes. And her vast knowledge of contacts. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I gotta say things like, so I know the answer to this. Do you need me to get it from the official source, or you listen to my answer? It's like, we actually need it from the official source. Okay. Hey, so here's what's going on here. Do you think it's this? Mm-hmm. Can you write that down for me?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I spent like 12 years in financial intelligence, which sounds really cool. And I really did love that job. But now I'm in audit management, which sounds less cool. But I really like, I'm really enjoying it. And I finally got a promotion after trying for like a year to get a promotion. So,
yeah, which is awesome.
And instead of working 20 hours on vacation this week, I only worked like 5 or 6. And that was cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And the only reason you did that was to support a teammate because of maternity policies in another country. So we'll just leave it at that.
Exactly. Exactly. My direct report was off, unfortunately, only for 2 weeks because his wife had a baby.
Yep.
That's it.
All right.
Awesome. That's me.
Mew, what have you been up to?
Oh, let's see. All kinds of random stuff. So my WoW raid team, we are on the last boss of the heroic AOTC stuff. We're working on that. Yeah. So we're hoping to get that done soon. We're in phase two. Yeah, well, it's as you would expect. It's the last boss of the expansion, so it's supposed to be tough.
Right.
We're in phase two, and it definitely wrecks you. Like the ramp up from normal to heroic on this boss is real. It's big.
Wow.
Yeah.
So working on that in WoW. Of course, I've been doing Legion Remix, running through and trying to get all the transmog I can. I think my next focus is, well, and I did get the, there are 4 specialized outfits that are Legion, Lemix specific, and you get them by doing some kind of crazy meta achievement. And I finally got the first one, which was doing the Lemix campaign, the Legion Remix campaign, not the Legion campaign. That's
right.
Something else. Legion Remix campaign. So I finally got that one. So I have that, and it comes with a unique, all 4 of them are a unique cloak style. So instead of just a regular cloth cloak, there's actual like flames coming off the cloak. It's very obvious when someone has it. But each of the meta achievements is just a different color of it. So I got that one. I'm working on the next one, which is to do 100, heroic mode, world quests. So that one's just a matter of grinding it out. And you have to be strong enough to survive heroic mode. Heroic mode in Legion Remix is no joke. The whole idea is that if you're doing regular mode remix, you're going to just raffle stomp everything because you're so overpowered real quickly. So heroic is a new thing they added to make it more of a challenge, to actually try to ramp up to your heroic, your remix levels of power. So it is a challenge. Things take forever to kill. They will one shot you if you're not paying attention. Like, you have to pay attention to mechanics. Yeah. So it is, makes it interesting. But so
yeah,
you have
absolutely.
To get, 100 of those heroic world quests done to get the next one. Another one, I think, is doing all of the mythic dungeon stuff.
Right.
That's tough.
Something about 99. Like, you have to do a mythic 99 or something. What am I thinking?
Possibly. That might be its own thing, but I think you have to do a certain level of all of the mythic dungeons to get the next meta. And then there's one for the raids, I believe. And so those are the 4 colors you can get. So you got the first one, working on the second one. The last 2 I'll have to debate because I kind of don't like Mythic Plus dungeons. They're not my favorite content because it's let's pick the trash hard for some reason.
Yeah,
is basically what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a raider. I'm not a dungeoner. I like interesting bosses. I don't like it when the trash takes 15 minutes to kill.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, exactly.
And then Final Fantasy 14, I've been keeping up with the story there. Nothing too exciting stuff. It's you know, they're doing the irregular tombstones that tells you it's a quiet period. Mm-hmm. So not too much to talk about there. I have been playing Outer Worlds 2. So that's an interesting game. It's, you know, it's more of the same. Right. They did tweaks, you know, the combat, try to flesh out some of that. They got rid of some annoyances, like, you know, you don't deal with inventory anymore. It's just infinite inventory. They kind of realized people hate that. Like, that's not a fun part of the game. Who wants to juggle stuff in your bags? It's just whatever, you know.
It's
sci-fi. You know, we got sci-fi excuses. It's in your sci-fi bag somewhere. Right. Who cares? Yeah,
right.
Right.
Magical bag of holding, but sci-fi.
yes.
And then, real world, of course, we just had Thanksgiving. Nothing too exciting there. It did suddenly get cold today. We dropped down to the 40s. We were up into the 70s.
Wow.
Just yesterday, we were outdoor at a park. It was sunny and clear and 70s and just a lovely day. And then you walk outside today and it's like, oh, I guess it's winter now.
So, wow.
So that's Texas for you. Real bad about
weather. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yep. So... and then other than that, had fun with you know, stuff that happens at when once you get to your 40s. I got to enjoy camming from both ends, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
since I was 23. You're 24. No fun,
but hey, this time around that was a lot nicer because I had to get it probably in my 20s or 30s once, and it was a horrible experience. You know, the whole suddenly the world is gone doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. No, but no.
Whatever reason.
I actually rest. It's amazing. It's the only time I sleep.
Yeah, I can see that. I actually took a nap afterward. We went to get pancakes first and then we.
That's the best meal in the world. That's right, my favorite meal.
Yep.
Get your pancakes and then pass out for a while.
Exactly.
But then other than that, getting ready to start decorating, because it's that time of year where we can decorate the outside at least. Although I hear I had Jen clarify the rule because you know everyone knows that you have to ask Mikala these things. She knows the rules. when you can do the tree, and that can't happen until after Pi, or is it?
Well, nothing.
After Pi?
Okay, in our house,
yes, mm-hmm. In Heather world,
in. Only our house. Decorating cannot start until I have had pumpkin pie, and it's specifically pumpkin, on Thanksgiving. I have altered it slightly where Christmas is invited after pumpkin pie on Friendsgiving, which is the Sunday before.
Okay.
Mostly because Ryan Ree really loved to watch Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
So, and I'm not going to deny those kids Home Alone or Muppet's Christmas Carol. So it has altered slightly, but traditionally no decorating until after I've had pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, have I eaten pumpkin pie for breakfast on occasion? Yes.
Yeah. And also we have to, you know, make the trip to storage to pull the 10 plus boxes of decorations out so we can literally swap the kitchen and living room area and TV, you know, TV room area. We basically all of downstairs, everything swaps out for the holidays. So I think the quote is, if it doesn't look like Santa threw up in here, it's not decorated enough. So
makes sense.
I learned that from my mother.
Yes.
And I finally have all the Halloween stuff boxed up, at least. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was last week.
Yes.
Or that was week before last, yeah.
Yeah, we typically do Halloween, and then we do have fall, so we take down some of the Halloween stuff but leave fall up until Christmas, and then everything gets swapped out for Christmas.
And it's kind of hard because like a lot of our decorations are now black cat stuff, and it's like, well, we have actual black cats, so...
Oh. You know those black cats... there's black cat stuff that stays up all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
also,
yeah,
our cats are decorations. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
But yeah. So then, what about you, Tets?
Yeah. What's
so what I've been up to, I finally finished Horizon Forbidden West, which I was like, on the ending, and then I did the DLC, and I was like, okay, this made it better. So, yeah, I still like Zero Dawn better than Forbidden West for the story, but it will be interesting to see the third installment when it comes out, what they're going to do. I did like the interpersonal stuff in the DLC with Aloy and Sekia. That was interesting. That was definitely a good story bit. I really like that. Yes, Gusty. Krampus can make an early appearance at Halloween and stay for Christmas. I like that idea.
Yes, absolutely.
And so now that I've cleared out the Horizon series and I had played Outer Worlds 1, waiting for 2 to come out, now I'm like on the second planet of Outer Worlds 2. I have like 4 companions right now of the six or seven. I think you get like 7 or 8.
No, I think it's 6. It feels like there's not as many this time around.
Yeah. But there's room on the ship for more than 6, which is interesting.
Probably DLC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm enjoying the story so far. So one of the fun things in that series is at the very beginning, you take perks and flaws, much like Call of Cthulhu. So you can take the brilliant feat, which allows you sometimes to do witty responses and things like that. But you can take it along with the dumb feat.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh.
So one of the fun playthroughs is you do a witty, dumb, lucky character because there are places where your dumb response will solve it. There are places where you're like, just hit it. And you're like, no, it's a sensitive, oh, my God, that worked, you know, lucky response. Yeah. And then there's others where you can make the witty response and it solves stuff. But you can play all three on the same character. It's
oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
they have a lot of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of go ahead.
Say there's a lot of interesting flaws. Like they did a really good job on the flaws, I think.
The thing that's interesting this time around is your skill points and perk points are severely restricted from what they were in the last game. So like getting something to an 8 and you're still you know, not even level 20 is tough. And like there's stuff in the story where I'm on the second planet and like it's calling for 8s on stuff to get past certain situations. And I've only got like 5 or 6 because I'm.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it not punishes you, but you get to see one version of the story if you severely specialize into like 1 or 2 skills, but that leaves out other options. And if you go broad and because you want lockpick and you want hack and you want engineering and you want speech, which is generally how I play, then you're locked out of certain responses because your skill's not high enough.
Got it. Yeah.
So it's,
or if you do like I did, have you gotten the easily distracted fly opportunity yet?
No, I got I got the one that you do more damage unless your holster goes completely empty, and then you do 40% less damage for 8 seconds until that wears off, because it's like, okay, you reload when there's like 2 bullets left. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that one's overprepared.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one that I got is along the lines of the skills and flaws. It's like you're talking about easily distracted. So if you broaden too far, you have the chance to get easily distracted. And then you're forced to not be able to choose a skill
point. Oh, right, that you haven't put points
the other
in.
Ones are the same level.
Yeah. No, wow. I did get that and went, no.
No, I did that one.
Like a big
and the other thing is, go ahead.
You you get one extra skill point per level.
Right.
To make up for it. So it's actually kind of, if they've done the math, you know, hashtag done the math, that like you will end up with a lot more skill points if you do this.
Right.
So if you know that you're going to be slightly broader, then it actually makes sense to pick easily distracted. Now, if you've gone too broad, no, bad idea, bad idea. You know, back out, you know, because you will suffer. It's like you said, end game, you won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Because nothing will be unlocked to you.
And one of the drawbacks to picking the dumb option is you are locked out of 7 of the 12 skills that you can never put points into.
Wow, okay. Yep.
So my character, I chose all the combat, because I'm playing on story mode, I just locked out all the combat ones. So I still have medic, observation, lockpick, engineering, speech, medical, but like all the combat options are out. So yeah, it's interesting. And then I'll do another playthrough. But even Max mentioned, he liked it, but he constantly felt he was locked out of too much stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, they're heavily encouraging you to play through again.
Right. And that's what it is.
Completely different game.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of making it a roguelike where you need to power up, they're just saying play through it in the play style this way and then come back and play through it in a different play style so you can see those options. So.
Like you did pick lucky.
Yep.
Right. So so at the end of the first planet, I won't spoil what happens, but normally you have two choices.
Right.
At the end, what happens? Well, if you're lucky, you get the third choice.
Yeah.
So yeah, that like things like that are in all throughout the game. So it's like, you know, what happens if you chose this instead? It completely changes the map of what the game looks like.
Yep.
So it's definitely worth it to go through again.
Yeah. Max said it was fun when he ran into a locked door needing a skill check and looking through the window and seeing a locked chest that would require a different skill check.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, the thing was, and I didn't realize it originally, so some of my early choices probably would have changed. But like when you take the lockpick skill, one of the perks you can unlock is pickpocket. But if you don't choose that, I'm like, why? I'm sneaking up behind people. Why can't I pickpocket?
Yep.
Oh, I actually have to pick that perk. And then some of them are like, you sneak behind the person. You're like, oh, they have a key card on them. Here, let me grab that key card. Oh, it's for the door right next to them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they probably were about to give you the key card if you just chose the right thing. In fact, there was one situation, I forget which one it was, that I was talking to someone, I pickpocketed them. And then talk to them, and they're just like, "Oh, I see you've already helped yourself to X and Y and Z."
Right? Yes.
Oh my god!
And another interesting thing, and I haven't done this myself, but apparently, for certain characters, if you pickpocket all, you'll get hidden items.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including unique outfits, apparently.
Right. Yeah. So it's
pickpocketing clothes. Okay, man.
Exactly.
It's a game you could definitely sink your teeth into. Even
the companions too. Like you're like who do you go with?
Right.
Like some places make sense, but some places it'll be a completely different game depending on what companions you pick.
Yeah. Exactly. But speaking of games where dice don't like us, our Ghost of Arcadia game.
God damn dice! Oh my god.
Language.
Sorry. I cast some fun, guys.
So we were just like, you start out the Call of Cthulhu, the D100, you roll for luck at the beginning of the game, and you want to fail the luck roll so that you can roll a D10 to get more luck. I rolled, and I was running a friend of ours, James's character as well, and I rolled extreme successes on both, which my luck was 36 and I rolled like a 7, and his luck was like 74 and I rolled a 4 for him. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then it just got worse from there. Things you're supposed to succeed on, we failed, and things we're supposed to fail on, we succeeded. So it was just a long, but the story is interesting. We are tracking down a friend of Heather's character's uncle in a different area of New Arcadia, and it's very much the desert Southwest, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, that style environment. And we're trying to figure out what happened to the uncle, and if he's passed on, dead, you know, whatever, we need to recover certain things. Well, we got to his house and found out the certain thing we're supposed to recover if he's gone is already gone, which is
was stolen by a corpo,
which is not good. And he's run off into the hills somewhere. So we have to go chase him into the hills to find out if he's alive. But also my character plays a technomancer. So the marriage of spirits and technology. And so he's looking and realizes that we've kind of been like there are cold breezes passing through the environment and just like weird stuff going on, images that are in the corner of our eye that we can't make out when we turn to look at them. And we found out that through a series of roles that I actually succeeded on near the end, that there's a spirit for the region and it has gotten injured. And therefore, all the spirits of the region are injured. And so we need to help it out because the corporation that came in damaged the family shrine to that spirit. But underneath that shrine, they found a much older shrine that may contain more powerful stuff influencing the spirit and the veil. So yeah, there's a whole like levels on levels of stuff we're getting into that's going to be really interesting. So yeah. All right. Yeah.
Dice, I did want to show off this.
Oh yes.
Thing that Mrs. Mew got me finally. Whoop, can you even see it?
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying almost.
Nope. There we go. So it's a red anniversary die.
No, nice.
Jeez, I've seen those. Very pretty.
Yeah. So actually, well, let's see if I can pop it out. But yeah, this arrived
you guys,
today.
You just hit, 20? You guys just hit 20? What was that?
Yep. That is indeed. And let's see if it'll do any. Nope. Still.
Nobody hates you.
There you go.
There we go.
Nice. I love it.
So, oh, that's very
good.
It's cool.
A very weighty. It's very, very nice. Heavy, very, very good. But it's clear, sort of. So yeah. Really
cool. Yeah. Lovely.
All right. Well, that is our show for tonight. While the chat,
I don't know. I have a question.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I was on the time.
All right, guys.
Okay.
I know. Speed round. Let me ask my question.
Speed round.
All right. Okay. Are there any geeky things you plan to give for the holidays, and are there any geeky gifts you hope to receive? Mew, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah. So I just got a geeky thing.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that geek is life. So
yeah, yes. True.
I mean, almost anything I get is probably going to be pretty geeky.
Yeah.
So it's I don't think that's really that easy to pinpoint for me. And as far
something you like to give as a geeky gift you like to give.
Yeah. So with Mrs. Mew, it's usually, I mean, any number of things. You know, for one year it was going crazy with unicorn stuff. One year it was, you know, fun witchy stuff. You know, there's any type of, you know, knitting things. As you know, definitely big yarn crafters, or she's a big yarn crafter. So, and yeah, it's you know, I want to say one thing we're probably getting a lot of lately is the just fun black cat stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, it's just, for whatever reason, black cat stuff is maybe the algorithms are just finally pinning us down.
Oh, but, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Yeah. Lots of that fun stuff. I don't know. It's just, there's nothing. I mean, it's more just what's your geek. Okay. Here you go.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Tet, what about you?
So I will answer your question and then
you don't have to answer what for me.
No, I know. And then you need to answer the question. And then we do have late breaking STO update. So we need to include that at the very end. So I have, we're in an adult gift exchange. We're not exchanging adults. We're exchanging gifts with adults. We have to clarify this every time. There is a we use Oxford commas for a reason, people.
Yes, or don't give. That could be true. Yeah.
Yes. So I am looking at some cool dice from like the Spell Dice or even from our local game store, Silver Dragon. Looking to see to give one of our friends who is a teacher some cool dice to have for the classroom. So we will see what I can come up with as far as style and stuff like that. And as for geeky stuff to receive, I mean, technically, I already got the geeky thing because I love jams and jellies. Just, you know, it's one of my favorite food things.
It is. Is it? Yes.
And McCullough found an advent calendar that has a little jar of jelly or jam for each of the advent days. And it's by, go ahead and say the name, Heath.
Bon Maman.
Yeah, it's a really good jelly.
It's a French jelly jam. It's so good.
Yes. And so they have all kinds of flavors in there. So, yeah, that's my little geeky, you know, nerd out thing that I was glad to receive already. What about you, McCullough?
Yes, and that starts tomorrow. So my one of my very favorite things, and I think I actually got them for the kids, definitely. Maybe you somewhere too. I love giving. There's a lot of really great geek cookbooks. So I got Read the Stardew Valley one. I got the Middle Earth one. Yeah, there's tons of it. I've gotten them as a gift before too, which I really love. So that is definitely one of my favorite things to give. And there's a lot of really great ones out there. There's official ones, there's unofficial ones. So if you have cooks and bakers in your life, take a look for that. To get obviously dice, always dice. We are Renfair nerds, so garb. Something I've been giving because last year when Rye was planning their Beagling trip, I definitely made sure that the kid had a ton of clothes, Renfair clothes. Things I love to give. And you know, just being a nerd, anything game related. That's it. So, right. You want me to grab that SDO news?
I got it.
You got it? Yep. Okay, go for it, boo.
In late-breaking STO news, yes, it's true. Cryptic Studios has once again been sold. Shocking. However, this is not a time for doom and gloom. The new owners have no intentions of sunsetting STO. In fact, STO has simply returned to its original owners
who
wanted to see the game succeed. Also, there are ongoing sales in both the Zen Store and Mud's Market. Some of these are as high as 50% off. Lifetime subscriptions are 33% off until December 14th. Q's Winter Wonderland will be returning on the 9th. And while we don't have any specific details on what the rewards will be this year, it's something you sure don't want to miss. So, with that... I think that is our show tonight. While the chat rooms begin suggesting even more show titles, we want to thank us for joining us. Thanks, us.
Yes.
Yay.
Good job, us.
And if you have any questions or comments about our show, you can email us at podcast@aie-guild.org. You can find us on the AIE Discord and Blue Sky if you are into that sort of thing. It is aiepodcast.eastsky.social. We record live with video once a month or so, whenever we get it lined up with our lives. Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can join the chat room and play along with us with us at the website, aie-guild.org/podcast-live-stream. And look for the link to our Discord server at the same site. For past episodes, you can see them on our YouTube channel. That is the AIE podcast when you look on YouTube. And of course, our theme was composed by the amazing Andrew Allen. Follow him at Keys with Soul.
And if you're interested in trying your hand at making any segments, hit us up. Our web address or our email address was there in the above information. Keep them around 90 seconds or so. And that's about it. And all the way, I know that we said it'd be the first Sunday, and I realize we need to make sure that we check with Miss Muse. So, sorry about that.
Yep. So it'll either be the first or second Sunday of 2026.
We'll get it figured out.
Yep. All right. So again, we will see you in January of 2026. So until then, AIE, this is Tetsemi.
This is Mukau.
This is Makala.
And this has been the AIE Podcast.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.